Greetings, heathens and harlots, and welcome to this episode of My Crumbling Audio, the only show that gives no indication in the title that we talk about butt stuff. As always, I'm the game-streaming, daydreaming, crises-pleasing host of this shindig, Crumb. Let's chat a while, shall we? We kept that train rolling all the way into last week, and I could not be happier, heathens and harlots. It's because you keep coming back that I keep dishing it out, and boy, do I love having you come back for more. This week, we've got more debauchery and fun, so let's get that muff dive in started. Have you ever wanted to write a book? I have, and I did. There are a few tips they give you when you're writing. Write what you're passionate about. If possible, write about what you know. And most importantly, don't fake it because people will call you on your bullshit. 50 Shades of Abuse, anyone? Now, it's a little difficult to write about horror because hopefully all of the content comes from a creative rather than a memory perspective. Same thing with high fantasy, and all this translates into gaming creation as well. I've never been an explorer and haven't taken an arrow to the knee. So if the goal is to write your passions and knowledge, kinda stands to reason that an established porn director, producer, and performer would have a pretty good head start when writing an erotic novel, no? One of my all-time favorite performers, Joanna Angel, has done just that. Her debut novel, Night Shift, is currently a bestseller, and it didn't take long to get there. It's got awesome reviews from everyone who's read it, and I'm hoping to add my name to that list of readers soon. Let's read the description, shall we? After graduating college, Taryn finds herself lost and uncertain of what to do next. With a self-imposed, friendless, and sexless life, Taryn unexpectedly winds up working the graveyard shift at Dreams, a sex shop in Pasco County, Florida. Tucked into a seedy strip mall on the side of a highway, hilarious and erotic, surprises lurk around every neon-lit corner. Now, without spoiling it, this is a choose-your-own-adventure style book, so it's up to you whether Taryn has that three-way or not. Disclaimer, I don't actually know if there's a three-way in the book. I fucking love this concept, because it ties in really nicely with the discovery aspect of one's own sexuality. I'd love to ask if Taryn is based on anyone in particular, or if she's a collection of personalities that Joanna's encountered over the course of her career. I myself used to work at a porn store. It was my first job, actually. I can say with total certainty that I learned a few things about myself, and more importantly, about others. I'm an incredibly visual person, so I learned about what my surface likes and dislikes were very easily. In terms of other people, nothing starts a conversation quite like asking who their favorite porn star is. Everyone breaks the ice in a different way. I'm sure Joanna remembers her first experiences, and I'm sure they translate to Taryn in an effective way. If you're curious about anything in the industry, you couldn't ask for a better teacher than Joanna Angel. Holy fuckballs, yes! Let me get this right out of the way right now. I fucking love the Child's Play movies, and we can't be friends if you don't as well. As far as the major series of killers go, my top three are Jigsaw, Pinhead, and Chucky, and not always in that order. Well, we've got a new Jigsaw movie, with rumors already abounding that there will be a Saw 9, woohoo, and I will drop more info if and when I get it. We've got a new Hellraiser flick, which seems to have picked up the slack from the previous few, and I'm insanely happy about that, because that last one made me want to stick pins in my head until I couldn't feel feelings anymore. Not the case with the latest installment of the Chucky series, Curse of Chucky. Nope, this isn't a really outdated review, although I did absolutely love the flick. No spoilers, because I really do recommend watching it if you're even a remotely a Chucky fan. But that ending was kind of left wide open. My hope of all hopes was that it was intentionally kept that way, and I can finally say I was right. We've got more Chucky coming our way. One of the best things about the Child's Play universe is the ability to poke fun of itself and the insistence that you not take it seriously until it's actually time to get serious. So when I read that creator Don Mancini is interested in a historical placement of our favorite murderous doll, I was intrigued. The premise is Chucky in World War II, so there would obviously be some element of time travel. I have no idea how that would work, which side he'd be on, or how the story would be woven into becoming part of the Chucky canon. Fortunately, none of us have to find out. Turns out that Mancini was just kidding about that particular Chucky adventure. I've heard the term writing yourself into a corner, and frankly, even though I think he and co-creator David Kirshner could do it, I had doubts on whether or not they'd want to go that way. What they do want to do is put Chucky on the small screen, and apparently that's exactly what we're going to get. So far, all I know is that the series is one season with 8 one-hour episodes, and it will be called Child's Play, with room for a possible subtitle. We know studios are finicky. And, thankfully and gloriously, Brad Dourif will once again don the microphone of awesomeness and give life to Chucky's voice. I am sure that there are many talented voice actors who could mimic the voice, but when the OG is good to go and so damn good at it, why would you go with anyone else? Personally, I'd like to see the ending of Cult explored a little further, so my hope is that Fiona Dourif and Jennifer Tilly make some appearances on the small screen. The goal of the show is to bring a creepy and scary vibe back to Chucky, which frankly he's sorely missing, and it started to show seeds in Curse. And knowing that, I can't help but hope Chucky goes back to tormenting kids, such as a possessed doll should. I may or may not have mentioned it on a prior episode, but I love pro wrestling, have for 30 years. Initially, I was going to keep that love out of this show, but I really just don't want to hide anything from you, my dear heathens and harlots. With that said, February 25th is the date for WWE's Elimination Chamber pay-per-view, and I have my super scientific, totally foolproof match predictions right here for you. If you're listening to this after the 25th, please feel free to tweet me about how incompetent a prognosticator I am. In the men's Elimination Chamber match, the only intrigue going in is how they're going to run a triple threat to start the match. I also kind of wonder why Miz can't catch a break. I'm unapologetically a Miz fan, and I think he deserves better, though his run with the IC title is a thing of beauty. Sadly, this will be the penultimate achievement in Roman Reigns' run to the top. No idea who he pins to finish it, but Reigns is going to Mania. Let's all point to the sign in boredom. The Women's Elimination Chamber has a little bit more intrigue going into it, in that nearly everyone is positioned as a contender in some way. I highly doubt Absolution or Mickey James has much of a chance, but a strong showing from the rookies could indicate future plans. While Mickey James is just solidifying her career at this point, kind of guaranteeing her entrance into the Hall of Fame, if you will. The intrigue happens a bit more toward the top of the division, with Bayley, Banks, and Bliss all having a fairly decent shot to take the crown into Mania. The will-she, won't-she turn-heel banter surrounding Sasha Banks seems never-ending, but I'd love for them to pull a swerve and have Bayley completely 86 her quote-unquote best friend and attempt a mean streak against Alexa Bliss. I think it would make Bayley much more credible, which she needs, while also not being detrimental to her should she pick up the loss. Banks will be over no matter what, and I kind of think fans are waiting for her to turn heel, but I think we honestly wait a little bit longer. Ultimately, the best wrestling stories are told when the face is chasing the champ, so I do think Bliss retains in the chamber and we get a new contender going into April. That said, two women are fighting for that contendership of sorts, as Asuka and Nia Jax fight for the right to party, or for Jax to be in the title match at Mania. Forgive me for saying, but one of these things is not like the other. And no, it's not about being like most girls. Nia Jax isn't in Asuka's league, plain and simple. I don't care how hard she works, I don't care whose cousin she might be, she's not the droid we're looking for. She'll get there, but it's a case of too much, too soon for the former model. Besides, the intriguing matchup is Asuka versus Ronda Rousey. The inevitable stare down probably won't even happen at the chamber, but you have to know that's where the booking is headed. We can argue that Rousey is in this position because of her name, but if I wanted to be a dick, I could say that AJ Styles didn't spend any time in NXT, and he didn't dominate the last 10 years of his profession quite like Rousey did. For the record, it hurts me to say that because I love me some AJ. So, Asuka taps Nia, Rhonda signs contracts, and we wait for Armbar versus Armbar. Apparently, just added to the card is round 975 of Woken Matt versus Misused Bray. Broken Matt versus Early Bray would have had so much more character and excitement behind it, but honestly, I can't get behind this match. So I'm hoping Matt Hardy wins in a hopefully short match that signals the end of this feud. Where does either go from here? I'd love Matt versus Jeff at Mania, because it's always easier to believe evil when it happens against family. As for Bray, I'm pretty sure Braun Strowman left the Wyatt family without repercussion, and the hard-hittingness, yeah, fucking linguistics, of that match would be an old-school fan's dream. To recap, Reigns, Bliss, Asuka, Hardy, and then ask yourself why you stayed up to watch. Woohoo! New segment time. I promise this will eventually have its own bumper like Song of the Week, but hopefully with a lot less of me singing. Or more. Tweet me, let me know. Moving on. You heathens and harlots probably know, or at least could have guessed, that by now that I peruse Reddit, and not just the NSFW subs, although I do spend an inordinate amount of time with them. But I also love toiling in the muck and mire of the subreddits that leave us little hope for humanity, and it's from that avarice that I bring you, Really Reddit? I don't know which subreddit this is from, but the following is an actual conversation found on Reddit. In the last 5 minutes, I have not only realized that there is a Greek sub, but that the Greek language is not dead. Huh? What language did you think that Greeks speak before that? Never really thought about it. Always assumed English. Been showing my friends, and they are as equally surprised. What? Why would we speak English? Seriously, is the American education system that bad? Yes. I have no further comment at this time, other than to say kudos to that person for admitting a flaw and probably hopefully realizing that they meant Latin, which is also still alive and well, just in case you were concerned. It is the Song of the Week. Here comes the Song of the Week. It's much better than this. It's a hit you just can't miss. It's the Song of the Week. Shout out to Crises for tracking this one down for me. The Song of the Week this week is Diabolical by Nyx. Diabolical is a sexy tune from 2016 that's perfect for any dungeon or bedroom occasion. Think a very sexy, intense version of Misconstruction. So, exactly like Misconstruction, but not her. Yeah. That is all for this week, heathens and harlots. If you like what you heard, take 30 seconds to subscribe, rate, and review me on iTunes. No iTunes? The RSS link is right in the description. Copy that into your podcatcher of choice and tell two friends about the show. I'll be back next week for another round. You can catch up with me on all the social media from the links in the notes. You can also catch my beautiful face on Twitch randomly. The more you watch, the more I do it, so head there and give me a follow. For now, I leave you with the best advice I've never gotten. If you can't be good at it.